Hello, and welcome to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano. Open your Bible and join us as together we seek to grow in our daily walk.
And I want to encourage you now to open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Have you ever found yourself questioning the Lord? Perhaps in looking at the current condition of the world, you've thought, why would God allow a global pandemic to affect the entire planet? Maybe you've wondered, why are there so many natural disasters that have devastated states and countries alike? Why is there so much cancer in the world at the present time? Why are there people being sold as slaves in human trafficking? Why are so many babies still being aborted throughout the world? Why is the Bible's definition of marriage being redefined? Why is there the legalization of gateway drugs? Why is there so much violence in the world? Why are so many people in despair and hopeless and see no reason for living? Without a biblical worldview, life would be very discouraging and overwhelming. If we don't understand God's plan of redemption in sending his son Jesus Christ to die upon the cross and then 3 days later rise from the dead to reconcile man back to God, there is no place that hope can be found. Yet as we go through the Word of God, we discover that God does have a plan. Even in the midst of all that appears to be crumbling around us, God's word provides us with the ability to have a better understanding of why things are the way that they are. And moreover, God's word reveals that one day things are going to change. The whole Bible is concerned with and points to the ultimate destiny of the world. Nevertheless, though we know what the Bible says and even what Jesus has done, we still wrestle with the questions and uncertainties of life. And this morning, we find the prophet Habakkuk in the very same predicament. As a prophet to the nation of Israel, Habakkuk was given information that was extremely difficult to process and understand. In chapter 1, verse 1 of Habakkuk, the prophet called the message that he was given a burden. It says in verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Now, we don't know much about the background of the prophet Habakkuk. His name means embracer. And there are differing opinions as to the time of his prophecy. And one of the reasons is that he doesn't mention any particular king in power. At the same time, we do find out that he was prophesying before the Babylonians took the nation of Israel away into 70 years of captivity. With that in mind, it's safe to assume that the prophet Habakkuk, it's difficult to say. Some people say Habakkuk, some people say Habakkuk. You get the understanding. But it's difficult to say, but the prophet, we realize that he was proclaiming to the southern kingdom of Judah the word of the Lord before they were carried into Babylonian captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had invaded Judah on 3 separate occasions, and each time he deported his captives to Babylon. Now, before the Babylonian invasion and the national deportation, there was a temporary revival under the leadership of King Josiah. Yet once Josiah passed away, the spiritual climate among the people sank to an all-time low. It's very possible that Habakkuk lived through that revival and now was living amidst the decline of the nation. And the kings that came after Josiah, well, they were wicked. And the prophets that prophesied were false and crooked. And the priests, they were ungodly and idolatrous. It says that this was the burden which Habakkuk saw. Now, the word for burden derives from the verb meaning to carry. It's a word used in scripture of an animal bearing the weight upon its back. And in one sense, what Habakkuk was given in the form of this prophecy was a difficult burden to bear. For the Lord revealed truth that was painful to proclaim. But Habakkuk was not the only person who had been given a difficult message to deliver from the Lord. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah was so grieved by the lack of response and rejection of the nation that he told the Lord he didn't want to speak any longer in his name. When Daniel received the word of the Lord, he was so overwhelmed that he was face down, being aware of his own sinfulness. The prophet Isaiah, when he was given a message and a revelation from the Lord, he was completely undone in the presence of God. And here, the Lord reveals to Habakkuk his plans to bring the Babylonians down to both attack and to judge Israel. The prophet was already grieved over the backsliding of his nation. But when he was informed that God intended to raise up a pagan, godless nation to conquer the land and punish the people of Israel, he almost completely lost his faith and confidence in God. And Habakkuk does what most of us do when we don't understand what God is doing. He began to question God. If you look down at verse 2, notice the questions of the prophet. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see plunder?" As the prophet observes the current status of his nation, he then turns and begins to question God. And he starts out by saying, "How long? How long is this going to last? How long is this going to continue?" That's probably a question you've been asking. Many of us have. How long is this going to last? In other words, the prophet is saying, "Lord, I've been praying. Lord, I've been seeking. I've been asking. I've been knocking, maybe even a little bit of pounding, but I don't seem to see the circumstances changing. And not only that, it doesn't seem like you're responding to me. I'm praying, but I'm not hearing from you. How long is this going to go on? When will it stop?" Maybe you've been saying that to the Lord this week. "How long, Lord, before my kids go back to school? Lord, how long before I can go back to work? How long until this quarantine ends?" And we don't really know. We have projections and graphs based upon data and stats, but no one knows for sure. Perhaps you've been seeking the Lord for direction in your life, and it appears that doors have not opened, and in light of the current state of affairs, it seems that they may never open. Maybe you've been praying for a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter or husband or wife. And although they're forced to stay at home at this moment, they don't appear to be any closer to God, but maybe distancing themselves even further. And your prayer is, "How long, God? When is this going to change?" What the prophet is having a difficult time with is what appears to be the apparent inactivity of God. "I cry out to you, but it doesn't seem to be doing any good. I can't see anything changing." And here, the prophet, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what God is doing. He can't discern it. And so he asks, "How long, O Lord?" But it doesn't stop there. He moves from asking God, "How long?" to "Why?" "How long, Lord?" And then, "Why, Lord?" In verse 3, "Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble?" As Habakkuk sees iniquity increasing and sin abounding, he looks at the violence and the strife and the contention and chaos and says, "Why, God? When I've been praying and asking, seeking you, why?" Have you ever asked the Lord, "Why? Why did you take them to heaven? when I wanted you to keep them here with me? Why did you let them get sick? Why did they lose the baby? Why did she leave? Why did they divorce? Why, God? I don't believe it's wrong to ask God questions or to wrestle with doubts, because the Lord loves us. And he knows our struggles. He knows we don't understand. All of his ways are higher than ours. And sometimes he does give us answers and does give us insight that we would not have known had we not asked. And yet at the same time, there are other things that we won't know until we're with him in heaven. As Habakkuk questions the Lord, he then begins to arrive at his own conclusions. But the problem is, his conclusions are not conclusive. His deductions are based upon limited human understanding. In verse 4, Habakkuk concludes, "Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Did you notice his words? Therefore, never, therefore. Those are conclusive words. With his limited knowledge, based on only what he can see in front of him, he arrives at his own conclusions. And in essence, the prophet is saying, the Lord hasn't answered me. Well, I guess violence is increasing. Nothing is changing. Therefore, the law is powerless, or justice isn't going to go forth, and the wicked are going to continue to prosper. You know, we can make that same mistake. We can begin to lean on our own understanding, and we say, well, I prayed and nothing happened, so I guess all is lost. Or I asked and there was no provision, so I guess we're through. Listen carefully to me, folks. We all have the tendency to prescribe the answer to our own prayers. We think that God can only work in one particular way, but God does things according to his own plan and according to his own will that we don't always understand. But it's okay to ask. Even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But it's also important to understand something, and I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, quote, "It is a fundamental principle in life and walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with God." So often our conclusions are not because it's what God has said, but only what we think. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. And that can be an unexpected answer. The prophet moves from his questions and his conclusions to answers. Because in verses 5 through 11 of chapter 1, the Lord begins to give his prophet some insight into what he's doing. The Lord says in verse 5 of Habakkuk chapter 1, "Look, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you." Habakkuk, having asked the Lord questions, arrived at his conclusions, the Lord responds with answers that were no doubt a surprise to his servant. The Lord responds that he is in no way inactive. There were many things that God was doing behind the scenes that if he would have revealed them to his prophet, he wouldn't have believed it. He wouldn't have been able to discern it. Listen, even when we cannot see God working, remember this, he is still working. And the Lord's word to us this morning, in the midst of all that we don't understand, is in one word, look. Look, not just with your physical eyesight, but with eyes of faith, to see what you cannot see with the physical eye, the eyes of faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, as Joshua stood before the impenetrable walled city of Jericho, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, with an unprecedented battle strategy wherein he was to march around the walls of the city and eventually they would come down. And the Lord spoke to Joshua and said to him in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and mighty men of valor." The Lord said to his leader, "See this, I want you to look. I want you to see that I've already given you the victory, even though you can't see it. You've got to see it with eyes of faith." I think of the prayer of the Apostle Paul in writing to the church in Ephesus, when he said that he was praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And when he talks about the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, it means not the physical eyes, but the eyes of the heart. The writer of Hebrews tells us about the story of Moses in the hall of faith. And he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Friend, how do you see him who is invisible? Only with eyes of faith. Today, we need our spiritual eyesight to be developed, to see what we can't. And we have to trust that the circumstances presently are being orchestrated. Divine appointments are being set like pieces in a puzzle being put together, even though we may not be aware of it. We have to remember that if the Lord told us everything he was doing right now in this moment, we would probably opt out. We wouldn't want to be a part of it. But we would end up missing out on what God was going to do. In verse 6, the Lord gives Habakkuk a taste or a preview of coming things. And he begins to reveal what Habakkuk did not expect. He was not inactive. God was working, but he was working in a way that no one would have anticipated. He was allowing the Babylonians to come down, a terrible, dreadful, fierce people, to carry the nation of Israel away into captivity. And here's something we find out. We find out that God often uses unexpected instruments, unpredictable methods to accomplish his will and his purpose. How many times in our lives have we misunderstood what God was doing? Have we lost sight of God's intended purpose? Thought we had it figured out, when in reality, we didn't. The prophet Habakkuk was going to have to come to the place where he could see things in light of God's coming kingdom. Folks, as we see things unraveling at a rapid pace nationally or economically, when we see a pandemic affecting the world globally, we must observe it in light of the reality of a coming kingdom, the coming kingdom of God that will last forever. As Habakkuk continues to make his way through the troubling thoughts of trying to understand what God was doing, he began to raise another set of questions concerning God's character. And he asks, "Are you not from everlasting? Are you not the Holy One?" Habakkuk, realizing and beginning to understand what God was doing, he's struggling to make sense of it all. And yet he goes back and says, "God, you're from everlasting. You're holy. You're faithful." Folks, how do we at the present time navigate through the storm that we're presently in? First of all, listen carefully, we must start from a solid foundation. By that, I mean we come back to the foundational truths that we know concerning God's character and his nature as revealed in Scripture, that does not change, that cannot be altered. Yes, these are difficult times. Yes, this is a stressful moment. And in some places, it's tragic to see what has resulted in the wake of this virus. But I have to ask myself the question, in the midst of all the uncertainty, what do I know for sure? What has God said in his word that I can hold on to no matter what? And this is what I know for sure. I know that God loves me. Listen, friend, God loves you. What do you know for sure this morning? You know that God loves you. You know that his word is true and that he cannot lie. You know that the promises that he's made are sure and will come to pass. You know that he saved you. You know that you're going to heaven one day. You know that he's working all things together for good in your life because he loves you and you're called according to his purpose. You know that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you. You know that he provides. You know that he uses difficulty to bring forth glory. In any spiritual problem, any heavy burden, it is critical to go back to what you know. Never exchange what you don't know for what you do. Never give up what God has revealed to you for what you can't understand. Hold fast to that. And then I take what I know and I apply it to what I'm facing. Putting my problems, putting the circumstance in the context of what I know about God, and I stand on what I know. And the ground is solid. This is what the prophet Habakkuk does. He starts to look at the character of God, the nature of God. He reminds himself of who God is. That God is eternal, that he's everlasting, which means he knows the beginning from the end. He's the first and the last. How reassuring is that to us this morning? God, you know exactly what's going on. You see the total picture when I can only see what's in front of me. God is also self-existent. He is God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is holy. He is faithful. He's almighty. And as the prophet begins to reflect upon who God is, his faith is beginning to surge. And what he does in chapter one, he's worrying. But when you come to chapter two, what you find is he goes from worrying to waiting on God. He goes from worrying to waiting. In chapter 2, verse 1, look at what it says. The prophet says, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer him when I'm corrected. Like a watchman on the wall, Habakkuk was determined to wait until the Lord responded. He wasn't going to move until he was sure that the Lord was speaking and directing him. He needed clarification from the Lord so that he could deliver the message to others. Listen, folks, think about this. God has placed each one of us in a time of waiting. We're all in a spot of waiting, no matter who you are. You're in a place of waiting. The question is this, are you listening what the Lord wants to say to you? Sometimes in normal circumstances in life, we are so busy, we are so active, we go here, we go there, we do this, we work here, and we really don't take time to stop and wait and listen. But guess what? All of us are in this place where we have to be still. The question is, in this place, are we listening to what God is saying? What if God wants to correct us and we haven't been listening? He has put a standstill, a pause button on the world and said, listen up. Am I listening? What he wants to say to me? Maybe there's an area in my life that needs to be corrected. Maybe there's an area in my life that God wants to give a directive. Maybe there's something God wants to reveal to me that I haven't been still enough to hear because I've been so active. But now, like Habakkuk, all that I can do is sit and wait. God, what do you want to say to me? Lord, what do you want to reveal to me? I'm listening today. And maybe that's where you're at. The Bible tells us in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say upon the Lord. The prophet commits his problem to the Lord. He prays about it. He takes it a step further. And now he waits upon the Lord. And by waiting on the Lord, he leaves it with the Lord. I'm going to wait until he speaks to me, and then I'm going to move. And then I'm going to do what God's told me to do. We move from Habakkuk worrying and waiting. And in the midst of the waiting, listen to this, he gets a word from the Lord. And the word is found right here where we began in chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 2. Then the Lord answered me. When did the Lord answer? When he was waiting. And he said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The Lord says to his prophet Habakkuk in the midst of the waiting, I've got a word for you. I've got a vision that I want you to write down. I've got something that I want to impart to you in the midst of waiting. Friend, do you know that God's got something he wants to impart to you in the midst of the waiting? There's a vision that God wants to give you that maybe you wouldn't see had you not been waiting. The question is, are you writing it down? Are you attentive to what God is speaking? It may be something you did not expect. Habakkuk didn't expect it. It may be something you weren't anticipating, and yet God is wanting to impart a vision to you. He's saying, listen, you got to wait. I'm going to show you this. I want you to write this down right now in the midst of your waiting. Take notes. And then the Lord says to his prophet, this is what I want you to do. Not only do I want you to write it down, but he tells his prophet, you've got to live by faith. Did you know you really don't know what it is to live by faith until you have to live by faith? And in one sense, the body of Christ right now, although we're always to be living by faith, our faith is being tested. We're having to live by faith. We're having to trust God. The just shall live by faith. And that's what's happening right now. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure of this, and I don't know about that. You know what God's word is to us? Live by faith. Trust me. Wait on me. I'm working. I'm doing something. Live by faith. The just shall live by his faith.
Thanks for joining us today for A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. You'll find us online at adailywalk.org. That's a good place to turn for resources to help you grow in your daily walk. If you'd like prayer or have questions or comments you'd like to share with us, email that to us at adailywalk@gmail.com or reach us by phone at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. To watch today's message again or any message you may have missed in the series, download our free app. Just do a search for CCSJC. And stay connected with Pastor John on Instagram at John P. Randall and on Twitter at PJRandall7. Then join us next time on A Daily Walk when we'll again open the Word with Pastor John Randall, seeking to apply God's truth to our daily walk.